Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I don't hear many pages turning, so I'll go ahead and start reading. Verse number 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And I'm going to preach at you so you ain't never going to forget what I'm saying to you. Amen. So he says, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We didn't put on a bunch of plays for you. We preached to you. Amen. We've not followed cunningly devised fables. Sit down and think about it and write it out and figure it out just how you're going to tell this story. You ain't got to get all that involved. Just tell the truth. Amen. He said, preach the gospel. That is the method that God chose. He said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We'll try to get some folks moved this morning. It's not going to be done with a bunch of flowery words and fine speeches and fair speeches. It's going to be done by the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? And so that's what he says in verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. You know what your problem is? You ain't thankful. Now we ought to be T-H-A-N-K-F-U-L. We ought to be thankful. But we also ought to be thankful, T-H-I-N-K-F-U-L. A lot of times Christians get in trouble because they're not thankful. They don't think about what's going on. They don't think about what's going to happen. But Simon Peter here, he's done told you a great, if you started in verse 1 and read up to verse 12 where we started, he done told you a great way to build your Christian life. Matter of fact, I believe it's the only way to build a Christian life. Amen? Amen. So he says, I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know that. I know that. I heard that before. I heard that message. You said that 500 times, Brother Mike. I'm going to say it 500 more times. Amen. You always preaching the same thing. I'm going to preach the same thing some more times. Amen. You say, why? Because you're a creature of habit. You smoked them cigarettes 500 times. When you going to do something different? Now I got quiet. Use that language you use over and over again. You don't quit doing that. You done complained that same complaint 500 times. Amen? You say, what happens? People not thankful. They become just apathetic and they get cold and dry up on the vine. Amen. So, Brother Mike, you might run some people off. It looks to me like they're quitting anyway. I never in my life thought I would say this, Brother Pedro, but I preached at you real hard for about 4 years and got a good crowd and a good congregation going. Then I spent some time trying to get folks established in the faith and built up and tried to preach and teach the Word of God. And people lay down, get cold. I don't understand that. Some folks must not be saved or something. You say, You don't know. I don't know that they are. I don't know that they ain't. I don't know that they are. I don't know. That's between you and God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes people just listening to the tone of your voice, I guess.
Yeah.
It's awful quiet in here right now. Get in here for 4 years and run around and holler and roll on the floor and jump up and down. And people start coming to church, and I was preaching the truth, but I don't think they was listening to what I was saying. I think they was watching the circus act, I guess, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
This time I'll stand flat-footed and tell you the truth. That way we'll know what we got, amen?
Amen.
Yep. It's like my old preacher used to say. He said, I thought we had some men around here, but after I got to checking, you had a backbone full of straw, just a bunch of scarecrows. Just a bunch of bodies filling spaces. Amen? Amen. Now, I'd rather preach to bodies than empty pews, but if you can't handle the truth, well, get out of the way. We'll win somebody to God that can. Amen? You say, why? You're not thankful. You're forgetful. We'll get into the sermon in just a minute, but I want to make sure you know what's going on. Brother Mike, you've been preaching kind of hard for the last... I'm going to preach a little bit harder.
Amen.
You say, and I don't... That's just the word that we use. It's not hard preaching. It's hard to the flesh. The flesh can't deal with it. But I know this, in my own life, you begin to take your mind off of sin. You begin to not think about the consequences of what you're doing. Preachers can get wrapped up in sin. Deacons can get wrapped up in sin. Ushers can get wrapped up in sin. Song leaders can get wrapped up in sin. Regular old lay persons that just come sit on the pew every week, they can get wrapped up in sin. And I tell you, it's because you're not thankful. You're not thinking about what you're doing. Amen? Some folks are laying out of church every week. They're not thinking about what's going on. You can't afford to miss one. I'm not talking about 111. I'm trying to emphasize one. You can't afford to miss one service. Not one service. I understand you've got the flu or something like that you're going to have to miss, but that's going to hurt you. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. Listen, with the flu's going around, some of you can't been to church, and I understand that. But boy, if you got to stay home because of sickness, get you some preaching on a tape somewhere and get the Word of God. Some of your daddies could preach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. Absolutely.
You can talk about hunting for 45 minutes. You can't talk about the Lord to your family a little bit. You little darlings, get around my feet here and let's talk about Noah. Let's talk about Abraham. Talk about something about the Lord, because you can't afford to go very long. You ever heard the saying, out of sight, out of mind? Mm-hmm. Amen. There's some folks here this morning. There's some folks that's not here this morning. And they'll be at home this morning. It'll be bothering their conscience and it'll be eating on their mind a little bit. But if they keep going the way they're going, they'll be out not thinking about it in a few Sundays. It won't bother them as bad. You miss one service and you'll think, man, I shouldn't have done that. You miss 10 services and it won't bother you a bit. And it won't bother you if the preacher puts dynamite under your seat and blows it up. You old hard-headed thing, you. That's your problem, you hard-headed. You can't get a thought through that head of yours. You're so hard-headed and set in your ways. One of these days, God's going to visit you. One of these days, God's going to come around and talk to you a little bit. You say, how do you know? He talks to me when I become unthankful. I'm thankful we got a merciful God. I'm thankful we got a merciful God. God could just break my legs and break my back and do whatever He wanted to with me. But I'm glad that He still convicts me of my sins. And even when I'm the biggest dummy you ever seen in your life, He'll come by and say, boy, you ain't got a lick of sense. Amen. Talk to me that way. And you expect me to come down here and whisper in your ear and kiss you on the jaw. You backslid as hell. You need to get right with God. Why would you say that to me? That's what God said to me. He ever said that to you? If He ain't never said that to you, you're not saved. Well, I'm saved by grace. No, you saved by your own self-love. That's all that's wrong with you. There ain't nothing lovely about you. There ain't nothing good about you. The fact that God had to save you by His grace means you ain't worth shooting. Amen. So, but you done got a high opinion of yourself. I can take my Wednesday nights if I want to. No, Wednesday nights is taking you. That's what it is. The devil's taking you. You say, what? You're not thankful. You're not T-H-I-N-K-F-U-L. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Amen. So, well, I'll even go down to the Methodist church. It'll still be true down there. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you how the Methodists got in the condition they're in, where they going to condone abortion and condone homosexuality. They already condoned homosexuality. They're talking about condoning abortion now. You know how they got to that state? They started laying out on Wednesday night. Ain't no use in having church on Wednesday night. Huh? Amen. That's exactly right. You say that church is going by the wayside. That church went by the wayside a long time ago. Amen. I'm talking about the denomination. You might find a good one here and there. But that denomination went by the wayside a long time ago. The Bible says you ought to go to church more and more as you see the day approaching, not less and less. It's inconvenient to go to the house of God. Now we got bingo. We got baseball on Wednesday night. We got all this stuff on Wednesday night. That's why you're so cold and dead. I'm talking to Christianity at large. I'm talking about all of us. We're cold and dead. The things of God don't matter to us no more. I'll tell you what. The things of God matters to God. It still matters to Him. Amen. Oh, I don't think it matters what kind of Bible you use. It matters to God. It matters to God. Amen. Sure. So I don't think it'll hurt me to go without praying a couple of days. That's because you ain't thankful. You not thought about that thing. Amen. Well, I am T-H-A-N-K, if you will. I'm thankful for the process. Right here in this very chapter, there's a process that'll get you right to God, get you close to God, but it takes a little bit of effort on your part, so people just ain't going to... Well, they want it fast food. Preacher, tell me how to get my joy back. You get your joy back, you start living for God. Some Christians used to love God's Word. To some Christians, the preaching was the best thing they could get next to. Boy, preach, brother. I mean, preach. Get up and begin to preach, and they'd holler, yeah, preach, brother. But now they'll check the clock on you. My old preacher used to say, if I catch you looking at the clock, I'm going to add 45 minutes to the sermon. Amen. And he done a real dirty deed. I mean, we got our clock in the back. He put the clock right up here and dared you to look at it. Look at your clock. What's going to happen when the consequence comes? Amen. Got up between the services. I went up there and had to get me an Altoid. When you preach, your breath stinks a little bit. So I got, there's two fellas on Harley Davidson motorcycles there, and I pulled up and I got out and I said, you boys riding them to church this morning? He said, I rode my church over here. I said, I tell you what, I had a Harley Davidson. It wasn't no church about it. Yeah. Amen. I tell you what, they get to zooming down the road this morning on their own precious time, about 100 miles an hour, and a car pulls out. That Harley Davidson ain't going to answer no prayers.
That's right.
Yeah. Huh? That's what keeps people out of church on Wednesday night. They're little things.
Yeah.
They're little things. That's what keeps them out on Sunday morning. They're things. Their things probably kept them up all night Saturday night. They ain't got enough gumption to get up on Sunday morning and come to church. Amen.
Yeah, right.
You hang out all night on Thursday night at the bingo parlor and get up and go to work Friday because you ain't going to miss that paycheck, are you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going on. People don't love God.
Right.
People backslid. Amen. This church backslid. About half the preachers in this church backslid. About half the deacons in this church backslid. About half the people in this church, about 99.9% of the people in this church is backslid. Just thinking about self. That's what you're thankful about. Self, self, self. Self, 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 self. Self, self, self. I Don't know why the preacher talks this way to me. I mean, he preached right to me. That's exactly what I should have been doing all along.
Right. Yep.
Amen. You say, why not? I'll tell you why not. I'll tell you why not. Because people get colder and colder.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, listen, let me tell you something that's the honest to goodness truth. If you went in your mind, you don't. I come here and pray. This is where I come to pray. And I walk by these seats and I know where you sit and I pray for you. Right where you're sitting at, I pray for you. And I'll tell you one thing that's true. If you go through your mind's eye, get down by your bed, and go by each one of these seats and pray for these people by name, and ask God to help them, and ask God to cure them, and ask God to strengthen them, and ask God to be with them, I guarantee you if they missed a Sunday morning, you'd say, where are they at?
Yes, sir.
And when they got off and got out and began to do what they wanted to, you'd say, my goodness, I hope they're okay. I wonder what's wrong with them. I hope they're not getting back in sin. I mean, I don't know why in the world else you'd want to be any place else than this unless your mind's somewhere else. Your heart's somewhere else. Am I telling the truth this morning? I'm telling you the truth this morning. And listen, you'll be unmindful of it and you'll be unthankful and you'll think everything's rosy. But one of these days, this world and this flesh and this devil going to jump right in your lap and tear your world apart. And that little junk you got down at your house that you've been fiddling with and you've been loving and you've been spoiling over all this time, it's not going to answer your prayers. Amen. Not going to put your family back together when your wife decides to leave you. It ain't going to put your family back together when your husband decides he needs a thinner model. Amen. That's what's going on in church this day and time. Bunch of Christians pile up in front of the television, lust after other men's wives and other women's husbands, and lust after cars and houses and homes and big jobs and fame and fortune. And their hearts get cold on God. And the first thing you know, they're not in church anymore. And they skip this service and that service. And they don't give no more. And they don't love one another no more. They don't pray no more. Next thing you know, it's everybody else's fault. It's your fault. You hear what I'm saying to you? It's your fault. It's going to bite you. I'll show this preacher I'm going to leave. It ain't going to hurt me. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. And all that complaining, all that murmuring, your joy turned into bitterness. And you complain about everything at home. And you complain about everything at church. What has it changed, huh? The fact that you see it's wrong and the fact that you complain about it, what did it change? Didn't change nothing, did it? Complain about people, don't change people. Am I telling you the truth or not? And don't complaining about it and being bitter about it ain't going to change it. You say, what's going to change it? Get your heart right with God and see if it don't change. Well, they're not doing, perhaps they're not doing right. But you're getting bitter over it ain't going to change nothing about it. You know what you ought to do? You ought to fall in love with them. Amen? Well, they don't know, 3/4 of the people in this church don't know how to act. That's why we come to church.
Amen.
Amen? You can't put up with them. You can't cry over them a little bit.
Right.
Amen? Best thing that ever happened to somebody was when somebody called you out in love, in decency. They said, hey, you need to take care of that. You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd take care of it because that's your problem. We're not thankful about things, but you know what? We're thankful of others. Some of the best stuff you can get is a little bit of criticism. Hey, give me a criticism. I pray about it. Ask God to give me the wisdom about it. If I have to come say, now look here. This is your problem right here. Brother Mike, you've done offended me. You know what the problem is? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We read a verse this morning that said nobody could intermeddle with your joy. If you was doing what was required to produce some joy down your soul, all the sermons in this world couldn't upset your apple cart. If you was right with God, I could jump up on your lap, one foot on each leg, and call you the sorriest scoundrel that there was, and you'd be like, look at this fool here. Amen? And people react violently and angrily because they ain't right with God. Amen. I chased some boys down on four-wheelers last night and I bawled them out. I mean, I was really upset with them boys. Afterwards, I got to... I hope they don't ever come back by again. But I could have probably handled it a little bit different. Amen. You say, why'd you fly off the handle like that for? I was unthankful. You ever been unthankful? Amen. You say, well, Brother Mike, if you do it and we do it, why are you saying anything about it? I'm trying to get us to do it less. See, I preach to me. I preach to myself. I guarantee you, Brother Chris, I preach to myself 10 times harder than I'd ever talk to you. Yeah. Amen. Because if I talk to you like I talk to me, you couldn't handle it. I'm tougher than you are. I had a mother. And then it got easier on me when I got a Marine Corps drill instructor. But I had one of them too. You know how you make a good army? You don't bring them into boot camp and say, now you sweet, wonderful little things. You say, well, God ain't like that. God said endure hardness as a good soldier. Life ain't easy. Half of your problem is you're not thinking about how good God is and how strong He is and how powerful He is. You're worried about all this junk down here on this earth. That way, you're afraid. If you don't live according to the dictates of the world and according to the dictates of this flesh, you're going to miss out on something. So what if you do miss out on it? You're living in fear. How am I going to survive if this or that? You'll survive the same way Moses got across the Red Sea.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Amen.
Well, God don't part waters no more. You're crazy. You ain't walking around the same God I'm walking around. Oh, you ain't got to fear. I'm just afraid if I start reading my Bible, I'll lose friends. Them friends about what got you. I don't know if I should say that or not. You're the one probably got your friends in trouble. In the Baptist church, we always preach this message about don't be hanging around the old crowd. They'll mess you up. Listen, don't be hanging around the old crowd. You might liable to mess them up.
Yeah.
Amen. It ain't the old crowd, it's you. That's true. You're not thankful. You've not been thinking, amen. I'm thankful for the process. Look down in verse number 5. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. A little bit of strength will do you good. Amen? You know what I found out when I was in the 9th grade, Brother Curtis? I was a little bitty old feller. I mean, you say, Brother Mike, you're a little bitty. You should have seen me then. I was a little bitty feller then. I'm on the upper side of little bitty now, amen? I'll get a little bit of fat around the waist and stuff like that. I'm gaining a few pounds. But when I was in the 9th grade, son, I was mighty little. Well, 10th, 11th, 12th, 3 years, 3 school years later, I was 117 when I graduated high school. I probably gained a few pounds in that 3 years. But I was scared to death. You know, I always got beat up. Always got beat up. And boy, if you just acted like you was going to hurt me, I'd get out of Dodge quick because I was afraid of getting hit on the jaw. But one day my daddy brought home some boxing gloves and he put on one set and I put on the other and he rocked me in my jaw one good time. After I stood there a few minutes, I'm like, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Amen? You say, well, make a long story short, the things we fear ain't often the same. They don't match what's going on in our head when it comes along. Amen? So I might lose my job. I might lose a friend. You might survive that. You might survive that. You know what some of you worried about? You worried about if you start reading this Bible and praying, you'll be one of these nuts standing up saying amen before too long. That's what it is. Well, I'm just not that kind of person. You're a liar. You are a bald-faced liar. Let me watch you watch a ball game one day. You're happy about that stuff. You're not happy about the things of God. You're not thinking straight. That's what's going on with you. Amen. He said if you do these things, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. All this sounds like work. Got to get in the Bible and study. Yes, you do. It's the stuff you already know that got you in trouble. You need to be regenerated in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. You need to get down the Word of God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to take a little bit of work. So I don't like all this bad stuff. Well, do something different. But see, a lot of people don't want to do something different. A lot of people want to think that the grace of God is going to change everything, and in the sense that it will change your life to where you'll want to do some of these other things. It will change your life. But you think because you said a prayer in 1968 and asked God to save you that everything's supposed to be rosy. And this is the real world around here, Brother Clint. Bad things still happen. Hardships still come along. The body still breaks down. The head still hurts. The toes still are hurt. The body, the knees still hurt. People still do you wrong. Huh? People still do things that you don't think they ought to do. Of course, if the preacher says anything about it, you'll move your membership, but you don't feel bad about saying something. You ever notice how people that don't like judgmental people are the most judgmental people you ever met? Liberals running around the country talking about tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Well, why don't they tolerate Donald Trump? Huh? Because they ain't tolerant. They're bigots. That's what they are. And they've scared about half of you into shutting your mouth. Go around town, see people living like hell. You at least ought to be man enough and Christian enough to say, hey, I've got a Savior that'll change that for you. Amen. Some of you are afraid of your own kids and your own wife. I ain't surprised you're afraid of people out there. If I was afraid of my wife, I wouldn't open my mouth to some other man either. Some of your wives, I wouldn't open my mouth to them either. They'd knock you out. Amen. See little fellas come to church. And every time the preacher says something, they look at their wife. What are you doing? Asking permission? Amen.
Amen.
Go home, wife getting your ear. You going to let him talk that way to us? You ought to be a man and say, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Glory.
Thank you.
Preach.
Say, hey, hush your mouth. You're going to bring a curse on our house.
Yeah, that's right.
Talking like that. Listen, I don't have to take up for myself. This church treats me pretty good. My wife treats me pretty good. I'm not saying nothing for myself, but I'm saying this for your benefit. There used to be a time in this country when a person would rather smack their mother than say something bad about the man of God.
Yes, sir.
You say, why don't people respect Christians? And why don't people respect deacons? And why don't people respect preachers like they used to? Because the only thing they respect is their self.
Yeah.
Not thinking about it.
Right.
You're not thinking. You're not thinking about what it's going to cost to miss a day in your Bible. It's going to cost you a bunch. One of these days you'll be slipping around looking at pornography and you'll say, how in the world did I get to looking at this stuff? How in the world did I get back here again? You stopped reading your Bible. That's what you did. You started bad-mouthing the preacher. That's what you did. You started deciding you know more than the preacher. That's what you did. You decided you know more than your mom and daddy. That's what you did. You growed up and got yourself in trouble. Your mom and daddy going to church and doing, I mean, they might not have been the best Christians in the world, but they was halfway doing right. They wasn't ending up in jail every weekend, but you ended up there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's because you thought you knew more than they did.
Right.
Oh, what's these people doing going to bed at 8:00? They're trying to stay out of jail is what they're trying to do.
Right.
Hey, the obvious is they're trying to get some rest.
Yeah.
You know you can't think straight without some sleep.
That's right.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. My old great aunt and great uncle, they lived to be 99 and 100 years old. One of them lived to be, they didn't live to be both. One of them lived to be one of them lived to be the other. And people used to laugh at them, all look at them, they go into bed at 7:30.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to bed at 7:30. And then they begin to scratch their head when they're down at the doctor getting their liver pills, and when they're down at the doctor getting their kidneys flushed out and everything's found like a...
Sure.
They say, what in the world's wrong with me? You didn't go to bed and get no rest.
Yeah.
Your body's tired.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Good preaching.
Take a bath every once in a while, too. Cleanliness is next to godliness, not in the Bible, but it's better than stinking. Amen? He said, add to you faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren. That's what most Christian lives are. They're barren. Can't move nobody. Can't move yourself. You know, some of you would like to get some fruit in your own life. Boy, I'd like to have some improvement here or there or everywhere. Wouldn't you like to have improvement everywhere? A lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people, just like an old hog, they'd rather wallow around in the mud and the muck than to get out of it and go do something. Go back to the Father's house and let Him fall on your neck and put a nice robe on you and put a ring on your finger like the prodigal son. One of these days you're going to come to yourself and you're going to have to be more thoughtful about it. He said, oh, what am I doing here? You say, what's all this preaching about? It's trying to make you wake up and say, oh, what am I doing here? Why am I watching this old stuff again? Why hadn't I been reading my Bible? Oh, look what it cost me to stop praying. Oh, look what it cost me to lay out of a few church services. Look what it cost me. Look what it cost me to miss the revival meetings. You know what? Some of you will never know. I say this and people kind of laugh, oh, that's a good possibility. But I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. I believe the devil's pretty smart. I don't think he's omniscient. I don't believe he's omnipotent like God is. But I think he knows a little bit. He can go in my office and read my notes anytime. I know he's been hanging out around here. I think sometimes the devil read my notes and say, hey, this fellow's about to preach something that'll help old so-and-so. I better keep him out this Sunday. Which leads me back to what I'm trying to say to you. I doubt not at all that the very sermon you missed might could have been the thing that would have changed the rest of your life. I know this. Would you agree with me with this? I have been to church and I have heard something from the preacher that did change the rest of my life. I'd hate to get down in 2027 and be in the worst condition I could ever imagine.
Right.
And just to have thought back that if I would have been in church October 5th, 1998, none of that would have come about. You say, I don't believe that way. You don't believe in my God then.
Yeah.
Amen. I bet Jacob's glad he didn't have to go into Syria without the knowing that God was going to dwell with him and be with him.
Right.
Sorry, devil. He was a sorry devil. You say, why would you say that about one of God's people? You're all sorry devils. We're all sorry devils. You keep forgetting that. Amen. Amen. Just lied to his daddy. I said he just lied to his daddy. See, every time I say sorry, you think homosexuals and child molesters and stuff like that. About half of you folks ought to go back and apologize to your mom and daddy about lying to them. You said, tell them teenagers, Brother Mike, I'm talking to you grown ups. You was thinking, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to have my fun, I'm going to go my way. How'd that turn out for you now that you're 35? You remember getting in any trouble as a boy? Your mom and daddy told you not to do it, didn't they? Man, you remember sitting around years later thinking about it? Hey, Brother Curtis, you ever looked at any of your kids and seen you in them? Man, I hate that more than anything. When Reese was first born, Brother Curtis, they began to say he looked like Josh, Ruth's brother. Then they began to say he looked like Alan, Ruth's daddy. As a daddy, I kind of took offense to that. It's like, man wants his boy to look like him and act like him. You got a carbon copy. Amen. But you know, when I begin to see, not just his looks, when I begin to see him start to act like me, I said, Lord, let him act like Alan. You say, well, Brother Alan's crazy, but he ain't a deviant like me.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. One of these days you'll wish you'd have done a lot different.
Yeah.
See, it helps to be thankful on the front end. It stinks to be thankful on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, boy, if I would have. But you didn't. But you know what we think? We think when we get in front of God, and God's merciful and God will forgive. But we make ourselves by getting in front of God saying, I wished I wouldn't have done that. God said, I wished you wouldn't either. But see, we take solace for the fact that we go to God and tell Him we wish we wouldn't have done it. With the truth be told, if God gave you another opportunity to do it, you'd do it the same way.
Amen.
You ever heard anybody make one of them deals with God? God, if you'll just give me another chance. When I pray, I don't ask God for another chance. I ask Him to give me another 50 chances because I know I ain't nothing but a dunce. I'll mess it up again. I got some things right this week and asked God to forgive me about it. And I told Him, God, help me because I'm weak. I'll do this again. I'll think this way again. I'll act this way again. My flesh is rotten. It ain't going to get no more unrottener. I don't think that's a word, but it ain't getting no better. Let me get back up here and finish this message before some of you have a stroke. I forgot to turn on the air condition. So it's hot in here this morning. I said, Brother Mike, I wish you... Why don't you turn it on next week?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? You stop by on Saturday and turn it on. Amen? I've been wanting to say that for 10 years. I can deal with it. It's hotter up here. Amen? Come sit up here beside me while I preach and see if I ain't telling you the truth. But you ain't going to come up here. If I added three more rows on the back, you'd move back to the end of that one. Amen. I thought about one time knocking them back walls out and putting some more pews. The church was growing at that time because I was preaching a little bit hard. I thought, Lord, no, I ain't going to do that. They'll get further away from me. That's why I built them up here. Amen. If y'all get right with God, we'll knock this side out. We'll put some over here. Amen. I would go ahead and do that, but we got all the room for sinners we can handle right now. Amen. I'm talking to you this morning. I don't know if you're listening or not. Listen, what He's telling you to do, I'll try to get on with what my thought here this morning. He said if you'll do these things, He said it'll make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. So if you apply yourself, you'll be fruitful. If you don't apply to yourself, the Bible says you're blind. But did you see what He said? He said you're blind and cannot see afar off. That's what I'm talking to you about this morning. Thinking things through is looking down the road. Thinking things through is looking down the road two blocks after you done made the wrong turn and saying, hey, I'm going to come out the wrong spot. It's when you begin to put your hands on things that no Christian has any business putting his hands on, knowing that that's going to hurt him. It's knowing that when you turn that television on and look at naked men and naked women, it's going to ruin your mind, not help you. Down the road two blocks, you're going to be a cold Christian and you're going to be dropping out. And it's not going to hurt you. It's going to discourage your brothers and sisters in Christ who are looking around wishing you is here because they look up to you. Amen. There's people who used to shout amen and holler amen, and now they're cold on God. And people who was looking at them and following them to somewhere decent, now they're saying, well, if it don't mean much to them, maybe I was wrong about this. If they was wrong, maybe I was wrong. And the Bible says we ought not to do that. The Bible says we ought to provoke one another to love and good works. You know, the word provoke has its own sound to it. You know, when He said, I read you the scripture a while ago. He said, I was going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You don't need your back padded. Oh, once in a while, I understand that. You certainly do. The Bible doesn't just tell us to rebuke. It says to correct. It tells us to give us instruction in righteousness. Yeah, Brother Mike, give us some of that. You laid out the last 3 years. Huh? Ain't 3 years enough? It's not really. You need it for the rest of your life. But you say, what are you trying to do this morning? I'm trying to stir you up.
Amen.
I'm trying to stick a big old hoe handle down the middle of your soul and turn it around a little bit and get you moving again. Hey, you got to doing things you ought not to do and saying things you ought not to say and being bitter like no Christian ought to be bitter, and you got cold on God and you're sitting there like an old stagnant pond. I don't know what they got around here. Water seems to dry up pretty fast around here, but up there where I'm from, they got stagnant ponds. That means there'll be a mountain on this side and there'll be a mountain on this side, and that water will get down in there and it ain't got no way to get out except to evaporate, and it'll sit there a long time. And it'll be all green like the Grinch and ugly. And you don't want to get down. There ain't no fish growing in it. And there's barely even a tadpole. Once in a while you'll find a tadpole. But there ain't no life in that pond. It's stagnant. It stinks. Boy, we could preach a sermon on stagnant ponds. Anybody ever seen a stagnant pond? And a lot of Christians this morning all over this planet are sitting in church and they ain't nothing but just a stagnant pond. I mean, if the water can flow somewhere, if the water can get out and run downhill, it can clean itself and filter itself. And God's been good to us in designing this world like this. And if you'd get up and if you would move and if you would stir around a little bit, you'd be amazed that you'd begin to clean up.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know that water, it begins to run over those rocks and through big rocks and little pebbles and big stones and begins to run around ridge and valley. And the further that thing runs, if it's running over clean ground, it'll get clean.
Yeah.
Now, if it runs through your septic tank, it ain't going to be clean. But as long as it gets moving, it'll begin to clean itself up. But did you know if you'd start reading your Bible and praying and coming to church like you ought to and witnessing like God told you to do, I mean, just start a little bit. Once you start moving things, you'll say, well, man, I probably should quit that. And you're running through the rocks of this life. But it's more important than that. There's a rock upon which we all ought to be standing. He'll clean you up if you'll get to moving. You know what some people do, Brother Pedro? They'll sit in front of the same filth every night and say, God, I sure do wish you had helped me get rid of this stuff. Come through the next day and say, I ain't doing that no more. But sit right back down the next night. Turn that same filth on. God, I sure am sorry about that. What in the world's wrong with me? See, you forgot you was purged from your old sins. It's right there in the... What in the world's wrong with me? Next night you'll be right there doing it again. Why can't you quit? Because Paul said you ought not to just be separated from the world. You ought to be separated unto the gospel. That old stagnant attitude that you had, get washed away. It'll hang around a little while. It's the flesh. Stuff's going to hang around in it. But you know how you first got cleaned up? You know how these fellows got called to preach? They got active. Mm-hmm. They had somebody stir them up. One day a preacher jumped up in front of them on the pew, probably called them a bad name. They might have even got mad and went home and cried about it a little bit till the Holy Spirit said, yeah, I'm sorry he talked to you that way, but he's right. God called a bunch of fools to preach. A lot of them trying to act like college scholars. Mm-hmm. Go home and say, God, he talked to me just like I was a dog today. The Lord said, I know. He's just a fool. I called him to preach, but he's just dumb enough to listen to what my book said. But I'll be your friend.
Amen.
I'll be your friend. See, I'm not trying to get you right with me. I'm trying to get you right with God. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like the way I do it. But I would like to stir you up to get you in motion. Amen. Some of you would like to be in motion right now. It's quarter after 12. Something's going wrong in my head. I can see back there now and I can't see up here. My age might have something to do with that. I don't know. But I'm telling you the truth this morning. Amen. So I'm just not happy. You know why you're not happy? You're a right now kind of guy. The Bible says you are blind and cannot see afar off. There's no long range sight in you. You're not looking at what the cost is going to be a month from now or 2 months from now or 3 years from now. You're not looking about what things are going to cost you. You're a right now kind of guy. You're a right now kind of gal. Amen? So I'm just not happy. I'm looking for happiness. Get right with God. You're backslid. That's what it is. That's what it is. You're backslid. Amen. Forgot you were purged. Hard to recognize your spiritual standing with God when your physical state is just full of hell. Amen? Amen. It's my job to make you thankful. Amen? To make you thoughtful. Let me say it like a human being for a minute. To make you thoughtful, amen? To make you sweat over it a little bit. Amen. I'll tell you this. If you get by with it another day, you'll be okay. And if you get by with it another month, you'll be okay in your own mind. But if somebody will tell you about the things you need to work on, you'll sweat over that a little bit. That's what we don't have in this day and time. Christians are not sweating over nothing. Dr. Doolittle said we is all right because we are saved by grace. You are all right as far as going to heaven is concerned. You're okay. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Brother Nathan Dunn sung to us about that. But this old flesh will get you in trouble on this old world. Huh? And ain't nobody man enough to say nothing to you about it. They're afraid you'll leave and they won't get your tithe money next week. But I'm telling you right now, it's not me you're hurting. It's you you're hurting. Amen. Amen. It's them kids you are hurting.
That's right.
It's your wife you are hurting.
Amen.
You say, well, it's my wife that's hurting me. No, it ain't. It's you. It's you. It's you, fellas.
Yeah.
You're supposed to lead your wife.
Right.
If you let your wife get you in trouble, you a fool.
Yeah.
No doubt there is some wise women. I'm not saying there ain't no wise women that don't know what they're talking about, but it's your responsibility to lead your house.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You might get her in trouble, but there's no excuse for her getting you in trouble. Oh, Adam shouldn't have hearkened to the voice of his wife. Oh, Abraham shouldn't have hearkened to the voice of his wife. It's not that she never said nothing worth listening to. It's just that when push come to shove, she made the decision and it messed things up. Amen. Listen, fellas, you ought to be in a position that at least if you're going to mess things up in your house, it'll be on you to take care of it. That's why I'll tell you something that'd be good for this church right here today is a bunch of men get on the altar before God and say, God, I'm sorry for the mess that I caused with my family. And if your wife caused the mess and you followed her into it, then you ought to come down here and say, God, forgive me for doing that. I'm going to make things right. It's not her fault. It's my fault for listening to it. We're going to do things right from here on out. I guarantee you things will pick up around your house. Of course, it might be her picking up her bags to leave. Well, I tell you, we're getting very close in this country to the place where if men start standing up, there'll be a bunch of single men.
That's right. That's right.
We're not getting closer to revival. We're getting further from it.
Right.
Amen? There comes a time when you're just going to have to stand up and take responsibility, man. You say, I bet Ruth is so mistreated. I bet she ain't. I bet she ain't. But when something ain't right, I tell her it ain't right. When I don't like something to go a certain way, I tell her I don't like it to go that way. Amen. We're not doing things that way. We're not living that way. You can be nice. I was cooking supper a couple weeks ago. And she was washing the dishes. Don't that sound like a happy little couple in the kitchen? One cooking, the other washing dishes. I said to my sweet darling, I said, darling, I don't like folks to be in the way. When I'm cooking, I need that water from time to time. Said it just as sweet. Wonderful. Did I? Yesterday I was cooking. I looked around. There she was, washing the dish. I said, I just told you last week. I bet y'all fussed all night. I bet we didn't. Some of you ladies ought to get right with God. Oh, you just wait till I say this, how rough it's going to sound to you. You need to be more obedient.
Amen.
Well, I don't like, that's not, God said, be obedient. That's your problem right there. That's your problem. Men, you're not obedient to God. That's your problem. Ladies, you're not obedient to your husband. You're not thankful. Well, I do what I want to, but look at the way your house is.
That's right.
If God blesses a house out of order, that would be by grace.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for words again. He's not complicit with things being out of order. Amen? He's not. God ain't trying to bless no mess. You understand what I'm trying to get across to you? God ain't going to say do it one way and let you do it another just because you're special. Who are you? Well, I'm more spiritual than He is. Well, keep your mouth shut if you're spiritual. The Bible says a spiritual person keep their mouth shut. That's how you know these men that want to run everything in the church and tell the preacher how to do this and how to do that. That's how you know they ain't right with God, because they open their mouth about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You think after 10 years I hadn't seen y'all doing something that you ain't supposed to do or shouldn't do? You say, well, Brother Mike, why don't you come yell at us? Because I go talk to God about it. He does give me sermons to preach, but I'd rather just preach to you as a congregation than to come to your house meddling your business. You say, well, how are you going to correct us? I'm going to talk to God. Then God's going to talk to me. Then I'm going to preach, and the Holy Spirit going to deal with you. And you're going to get under conviction about your sins. You're going to get right. And you're going to experience the joy of God. Or you're going to keep doing your thing, and your will, and your way. And you're going to bump your head one of these days. Lord, we do thank You this morning for Your goodness and for Your grace. I pray You'd help us, God. Help some of these men, God, to get on the altar and take charge of their lives and take charge of their families and take charge of everything, God, and to lead their family, God, instead of just falling along behind them. Lord, I pray You'd help them. I really pray You'd help me. And I pray, God, You'd get a hold of our hearts and lead us, God. And Lord, we need revival, and we're not going to get it unless we get stirred up. And I pray You'd stir us up. I pray, God, You'd help us. I pray, Lord, that You would lead us and protect us. God, sin is trying to kill me, and sin is trying to kill these people, and sin trying to get at my wife and get at my children, and sin trying to choke out every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. I pray You'd help us, God. I pray You'd do something for us. Lord, we want to be fruitful. We don't want to be barren. We want to have a remembrance. A good remembrance. We don't want to forget that we was purged from our sins. We don't want to get back out there in that life. That life was no good to us. It didn't treat us good not one day of our life. It tried to kill us and take everything away from us. I pray, God, You'd help us to live that righteous life, that godly life that'll be good to us and help us and put a hedge about us. And we thank You, God, for giving us the opportunity. If we can just take our faith and add virtue, and take that virtue and add to it temperance and knowledge and patience and God, brotherly kindness and godliness and charity. God, help us to add these things to our lives. Help us to quit running away. Help us, oh God, to quit shrinking from our responsibilities as Christians. And we'll thank You, oh God, for what it is that You do. Lord, I think some folks have come to the altar. I pray that You'd